This is the Full Press NBA Podcast.
Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good! The Bulls win!
Magic down the middle, just what I thought. A hook shot at 12. Good!
Bird up fake. Bird takes the shot. It's on! It's on! Oh, my goodness!
Presented by Sportscaster.com and distributed by Snowman Digital Media.
Here's Carnes. Let's one go from center court.
He got it! He got it! He got it!
What's up, all you NBA junkies? Brian Snow here, and this is the Full Press NBA Podcast presented by Sportscaster.com and also distributed by Snowman Digital Media. Man, a lot of stuff to get into. Sharif Ahmed is my guest for today. I beg your pardon, and he will join me in just a moment. And I got a couple of rumor pieces involving the Golden State Warriors. We'll get to that after the first break. But as we always do, we go through the scores from yesterday. Domantas Sabonis had 21 points, 15 rebounds, and 9 assists as the Indiana Pacers defeated the Charlotte Hornets 119-80. The Milwaukee Bucks went into Toronto and picked up their 50th win of the year, beating the Toronto Raptors, the defending NBA champions, 108-97. Giannis Antetokounmpo, who I believe is a runaway candidate for his second straight most valuable player. He had 19 points, 19 rebounds, 8 assists, and 3 blocks. Dennis Schroeder saved the Oklahoma City Thunder as they survived 41 points from Zach LaVine and 35 from rookie Kobe White as the Thunder beat the Bulls 124-122, which probably spells the end of the Jim Boylan era in Chicago. A coaching search may happen at the end of the year. Talk about that at a later date. A little bit of history. Kobe White becomes the first rookie in NBA history with 3 consecutive 30-point games off the bench. How about that? The Denver Nuggets beat the Detroit Pistons 115-98. Jamal Murray, 16 points and 8 assists. Pelicans lose to the Lakers 118-109 at the Staples Center as LeBron James scores a season-high 40 points and 8 rebounds. Zion Williamson had 29 in the losing effort. The Boston Celtics get back on track. They defeat the Portland Trail Blazers 118-106. Jason Tatum, 36 points to follow up his 41 that he had on Sunday in the Staples Center, and the woes continue for the defending Western Conference champion Golden State Warriors. They lose in a Northern California matchup to the Sacramento Kings 112-94. Harrison Barnes and DeAndre Fox each had 21 for the Kings in the winning effort. Golden State shot just 4 of 28 from 3-point land, and that is a rare sighting. As I mentioned, the woes continue for Golden State, but fear not, Dub Nation. I believe there will be some help on the way, and I will explain that after the break. And welcome back to the NBA podcast, your daily cheat sheet for all things NBA. Brian Snow here with you. I mentioned in the first segment when I was wrapping up the scores from yesterday, to fear not, Dub Nation, there is some help on the way. There's a couple of rumors out there that some sources brought to my attention. One of them involved Karl Anthony Towns, and the other involves, if you can believe it, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Yes, Giannis Antetokounmpo may be in the Bay next year. According to TotalProSports.com, their article reads as follows. Not only did they trade for Andrew Wiggins, but they could be planning a possible trade for the Greek Freak. Yes, you heard and read that correctly. According to a recent report from Eric Pincus of Bleacher Report, some people around the NBA believe the Warriors got a first-round draft pick in Andrew Wiggins for the sole purpose of flipping it to possibly acquire Antetokounmpo. Wow. Eric Pincus says follows, quote, some around the league believe the Golden State Warriors acquired a first-round pick from the Minnesota Timberwolves along with Andrew Wiggins with the notion of a potential future trade with the Bucks, close quote. And this record for Golden State, which ends their five-year run as Western Conference champions, they only have 12 wins this year, it's going to lead to a very high draft pick. So they're going to be reloaded very quickly. The other part of this rumor is this. There is a possibility that trade with Andrew Wiggins and the draft capital that the Warriors have may lead to a little something we like to call Karl Anthony Towns. I've said a couple of times on Snowman in the Morning that Karl Anthony Towns, I believe, will end up in the Bay. So there's a possibility one of the two best big men in the NBA will be wearing a Golden State uniform next year. A lot of people were crazy when I said on my morning show that Kevin Durant would be in the Bay. A lot of people said there's no chance of that happening. Well, we saw how that turned out. Sharif Ahmed is next after the break. Welcome back to the program, folks, and there's a lot more that we have in store for you, so stand by and hold on, and let me bring in one of my other good buddies, the man in charge of Sharif Ahmed Sports Talk, the man Sharif himself, and he's on the line right now. How are you, my friend?
Good. How are you, sir? Long time no hear. You're a busy man, and you're doing good things.
I appreciate that. Okay. Why do people get upset at me or folks like you and me when I said the All-Star game sucked?
It did suck. go ahead.
I understand them wanting to try a new method. I also understand them honoring one Kobe Bryant. I get that. I understand that. But playing to a score, first of all, you're biting off of Ice Cube's idea and he patented it. Second of all, you're not giving him the credit for it. And third, the play for the first three quarters still sucked.
It did. And you and I come from the same era. Mm-hmm. You know, I started following NBA basketball probably from the 85, 86 to now.
Yeah.
And when the All-Star game came about, it was an All-Star game. It was competitive.
Yes.
Guys went after it. We didn't have all the other side things like the celebrity games, the skills game. We just had a dunk contest, 3-point contest, All-Star game.
And the All-Star
game.
That's it.
Exactly. And the thing is about this All-Star game is that, you know, it used to be the fans voting the players in, but then now you get the two superstars from each conference get to hand pick the team. There's players that are supposed to be in, that are not supposed to be deserving. That are on the All-Star team, while you have players that are deserving that are not on the All-Star team.
Zach LaVine come to mind? Zach LaVine
Devin
come
Booker.
To mind? Devin Booker?
Yeah.
Devin Booker
was another one too.
Yeah, and he got called as a replacement because Damian Lillard was injured. Zach LaVine, in my opinion, earned his spot on the All-Star team. Plus, he's a member of the hometown team, and he did not get elected. There's a problem with that.
And that's the thing that really upsets me. I don't, you know, it's an All-Star break. I get mad because we don't see games for a week, and it's ridiculous. The dunk contest.
Oh dear.
I'm an Arizona Wildcat.
Yes.
And Aaron Gordon got shunned again. We can go back to the 2006 dunk contest when Iguodala went underneath the rim with Iverson throwing it off the backboard,
and he didn't win that. That should have been Iguodala's contest. That should have belonged to Andre Iguodala.
10 chances for a dunk? Yeah, yep. It's ridiculous.
When they did away with the slam dunk contest, I understood all of the fervor and all of the fans being mad. They brought it back. Vince Carter showed off. Jason Richardson showed off two consecutive years. Desmond Mason also. Aaron Gordon gets shunned twice out of the slam dunk contest win. Iguodala in 2006 with Philadelphia. And then this year in Chicago, in the house that Jordan built, that was, fans are going to hate me saying this, even though Aaron Gordon got shunned again, but that was the most atrocious slam dunk contest I have ever seen in my life.
2016 was probably the most creative dunk contest we've had. And I don't think that creativity will ever come back again.
It won't.
They need to do away. It won't. We're going to get a bunch of rookies that we've never heard of who averages maybe 9 to 11 minutes a game that are going to be in a dunk contest. Mm-hmm. And those guys are going to be playing for like what, $25,000-$35,000 check.
Right.
There's no more camaraderie. Because back in the day you had Dominique and Michael going at it, and you know, Vince Carter stepped in the scene, and Tracy McGrady was in a dunk contest, Kobe Bryant was in a dunk contest. I mean, I remember, I'm gonna go way back, the first time I ever saw a dunk contest was when in 84 when Larry Nance won it. Because I was in
With the two ball dunk. Yeah, that was in Denver. I was at McNichols Arena in Denver. How's that for some old school stuff?
Amen.
How's that for some old school stuff?
That's when I started following the dunk contest, because he played for the Phoenix Suns.
Absolutely.
And it was just, but now it's just ridiculous, man.
I've spoken so much about how horrible the NBA is, and yes, I said it in that context, and people think I'm nuts when I say that. And I also get, oh, you're just a Michael Jordan fan. No, I'm a basketball fan, and I grew up watching great NBA basketball. The first year I started following was 1980. There was a fellow named Irvin Magic Johnson who did something that has not been repeated, and that is a rookie being a World Championship Series Most Valuable Player. He started for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in Game 6.
He was injured.
Mm-hmm. He started for Kareem in Game 6 in Philadelphia when he told his coach at the time, who was Paul Westhead, never fear, Magic's here.
Yeah.
Where is that attitude now?
There isn't. And also, I would like to also chime in on that story when the Lakers went to Philadelphia, Magic Johnson sat in Kareem's seat.
Yes. Yes, he did.
So he sat in Kareem's seat because he wanted to win that game. And I think he had like 42, something like 42 his stat line points, was like 42 points, 15 boards. And
42 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists.
That will never, ever be repeated again. And, you know, if talking about Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, that era, they brought back the NBA. Because before that, the NBA was atrocious.
They were in trouble. The NBA was in trouble. I mean, And I think 80 was the last year where the championship series was televised via tape delay. There were still some games up until 1985 that were televised via tape delay. Lakers Nuggets, the Western Conference Finals, and that was just due to programming, and they hadn't reworked the deal yet. That's all that was. But at
could
the
you
same
imagine
time,
if there was tape delayed now?
Oh my God! You know, I was on a program in 2015, and one of the hosts asked me, you know, what if the Rockets and the Hawks made the NBA Finals? I said, put it on tape delay and put it on NBA TV and charge people for it. Who the hell would buy it? I sure wouldn't.
No.
But no. The All-Star festivities and the team introductions. Now, let me make this disclaimer. What Common did to introduce the players, phenomenal. If these walls could talk, I have it in my ears every day as part motivation to get me started every day. Phenomenal. Okay? Phenomenal.
Yeah.
But you don't need it at the start of the game when you want to get the players warm.
Yeah. Things have changed, man. And I have a fear. I have a fear that the league is, as soon as, once LeBron leaves the game, there's going to be a huge decline, like when Jordan left in 98, 99, and from 99 to maybe 2002, it was the time when the NBA just was not watchable. It was not entertaining. There was no polarizing players. So
because Kobe really didn't become Kobe yet, because Shaquille O'Neal flanked him. So that's totally right. That's totally understandable. Shaquille O'Neal, if you want to point to a dominant player from 99 to 2003, it was Shaquille O'Neal with the Lakers.
Right. Okay.
But yes. there's no, and I love Shaq. Okay. But there is no back to the basket center anymore in the NBA. I have a problem with that.
And it's set. Yes, there is. It is a problem with that. And we're not going to see it again. Probably never. The only way it's going to get instituted if the college game institutes that back again,
yeah,
and it somehow filters into the pro game. But the thing is that basketball is also entertainment, and yeah, people like to see the fast breaks, the dunks, the three pointers, the and ones, and all this, and shaking people off the dribble 25, 30 feet away from the basket. The lane is completely open.
Mm-hmm.
The referees today, it's a bunch of ticky tack fouls. I mean, you average. I was watching the game, and I was saying to myself, what's the average, like, possession time, before a whistle's blown? And
right,
it's like 6 or 7 seconds.
Right.
That is ridiculous. And when the basketball, we were growing up, a lot of folks don't know, there was only two officials on the court,
right,
during the heyday of the 80s. And a lot of the old heads loved the fact there was only two officials, because mm-hmm, the third, they introduced the third official. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brian.
He was the third official was the alternate, and he only came on if something happened to one of the two main officials, like an injury or exhaustion. Anybody remember the
correct
Boston Garden back in June of the 80s? Okay.
Correct.
Gets a little hot in there,
mm-hmm,
but that's mm-hmm the only way. That's the only way that the third official, works the game. There were only two officials. What really gets on my nerve, and I've said this on this program, and I think you were with me. You want to know why Golden State gets a lot of hatred right now? Because in the midst of the parameters of their offense, Stephen Curry figured something out that Russell Westbrook, James Harden have not. He's taken an anomaly, that 3-point shot, and he turned it into a weapon. Consistent weapon. You got folks like James Harden stepping back shooting 43s a game just because he wants to. You got folks like LeBron James shooting 19 threes a game when he doesn't need to. All he needs to develop is a post game. If he ever developed a post game, he'd be the most dangerous player in the world. I've said that, and I'll continue to say it.
Correct. Absolutely correct. And we can also go back and now kids today with the Steph Curry impact want to be like him. They want to shoot like him. They want to dribble like him. They want to wear his jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
They want to wear his shoes. And the thing is that you're absolutely right. He brought in something that was back in the late 70s, but during the 80s and early 80s, the 3-point shot was taboo.
It was an anomaly. Remember? It was an anomaly. No one hardly took a 3-point shot.
Because they were afraid that the percentages of making a 3-pointer was so low, they were in fear of the long rebounds and the other team getting the fast break and starting a run.
And who was the king of that? And who was the king of those teams? The Los Angeles Lakers. If you took a long shot and they had the rebounders underneath, Abdul-Jabbar, later on AC Green, James Worthy, Jamal Wilkes for a time.
Now you're going old. Now you're going way back. But yes, you're absolutely correct. And the thing is, though, that basketball in the 80s, each team had players.
Mm-hmm.
each team had a stud, no matter if it was the Los Angeles Lakers all the way to the Milwaukee Bucks. They had, you know, and the old Dallas Maverick teams, they had, you know, they had Mark McGuire. They had the Brad Davis, the white guy.
Yep.
You remember him?
I remember Brad
Davis. They had him. Yes. And a lot of, and back in the day, everybody ran.
Yeah.
The game was more fluid. The game was, you know, it was more fluid. And
yep.
Today's game is not like that.
It
and I can't watch an NBA game anymore. I really can't.
It's just
so hard to watch.
It's you want to know why? People have always asked me, you know, you're from Chicago. Why are you a fan of the Warriors? I'm a fan of the Warriors and the Bulls and the Spurs for this specific reason. They play team basketball. They actually operate within the confines of an offense. More importantly, they actually play a little defense. People don't realize that during the 5 years that the Warriors ruled the West, they were either the number one or the number two defensive team in the NBA. And people seem to forget that.
Yes. Those are certain statistics that casual fans do not want to hear. And you're absolutely right.
Yep.
You're absolutely right. And the one thing I do want to talk about, now that we're talking about NBA basketball, I have been getting a lot of pushback here in Houston about the Rockets. And let me tell you what the pushback I'm getting. There was a stat line, and I don't know if you would have seen it, and I shared it, that these people here in Houston posted that, the Rockets are 8-2 since the trade. Robert Covington is averaging more blocks than Clint Capella.
I
said, what kind of stat line is this? I play fantasy basketball, so I pulled up their profiles, and Capella has still averages more block shots than Covington does, and Capella's currently hurt right now. Covington is playing in a system where it's going to absolutely fade in the playoffs. That is the one thing I don't understand. Yes, small ball works in the regular season. I get it. But the thing is that when you go in the playoffs, the referees will swallow the whistles more.
Yep.
The little hand checking and the ticky-tack fouls on the drive are not going to get called. The physicality is going to increase. And then last thing, who's going to protect the rim for the Rockets? Tyson Chandler? No disrespect to Tyson Chandler.
None.
But you and I can probably beat him in a foot race, in a suicide right now. Tyson Chandler doesn't even play. Because he's a liability.
Yes. Yes,
so,
yes, yes.
So, you know, so they're bashing me, saying, your Spurs this, your Spurs this. And it's like, listen, I understand as a diehard Spurs fan, I know when reality hits my team. We're
exactly.
not making the playoffs.
Right. Same here.
And I accept that.
Same here.
But the thing is.
Same here with the Bulls, the Spurs, and the Warriors. I follow all three. Bill Schoenig's a dear friend of mine, and I plan to have him on the show next week. Bill Schoenig's a dear friend of mine, so I've been following the Spurs. In fact, two of my favorite Spurs of all time, you remember these names, George Gervin and David Robinson. Not to mention Tim Duncan.
I have an Arizona connection, Sean Elliott.
The Memorial Day Miracle.
He's from Tucson, Arizona, where I was raised. He went to Cholla High School, where he became the all-time leading scorer in Arizona high school basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the University of Arizona, became the all-time the Pac-10 scoring leader.
Yep.
And I know his family, and they're fantastic people. Sean currently does the play-by-play for
Spurs Television
for Fox Sports South, I think. He does all the Spurs games.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that I come to the reality that my team's not going to make it. But the thing is, though, when I talk to these fans on my sports page or people at the bar, they're trying to convince me that the Rockets are going to do really well. And I'm telling you, it doesn't work. This is not going to work. And let me tell you this, Brian. There's four pillars in the NBA. There are four things that I always pose a question to fake Rocket fans, fake Laker fans. I pose these four questions.
Number one.
Four questions in successful NBA franchise. Number one, the owner. Number two, the front office. Number three, head coach.
And number four?
And number four is the roster. The Rockets owner, wants to win right away. Okay, but doesn't know how to put a team together. Daryl Morey, who's the GM, is an analytics guy. But you trade for Russell Westbrook, who is completely against what your thoughts are and being analytical.
I thought I was the only one that caught a hold of that. You seem to have caught that. You seem to have caught that with me because we've talked about it before.
Yes. And the third thing, the coach is a lame duck coach.
He's done.
Exactly.
He's done.
And then, lastly, he's done. And I tell all these Rocket fans, I lived in Phoenix when D'Antoni had Steve Nash, Boris Diaw, Sean Marion, Amari Stoudemire. He had all of that. Yeah. And what did he do? He couldn't win.
He couldn't beat the Spurs in the playoffs.
And the thing is that at the time, that team that D'Antoni had, I think it was in 07 when the Spurs won, they had the best record in the league.
62
and
20.
And they couldn't beat the Spurs.
62-20. They were 62-20 in 2007, and the Spurs
best team in the league.
And the Spurs waxed them in a 4-game sweep.
Right, and then the roster. Let's go. Brian, you and I are on the same page when it comes to basketball.
Yes.
Let's look. I'm just gonna just start spitting out just names on this team. You got Westbrook, Harden, Eric Gordon if he can stay healthy. Then you got Robert Covington.
Who else
after that?
Exactly. Who's gonna protect the rim in May? Okay. The roster, the Rockets roster is good to get them through mid-April. But who's going to protect them at the end of April and May? And I'll throw this. Cole Johnson's been on this program. You've heard me talk to him many times, and he's a big-time Rockets fan. Okay? Here is the problem with Houston. How many times, and I got to bring up the Christmas Day game in San Francisco. How many times has Golden State gotten their head?
They beat them 2 out of 3 games. That's what I'm telling people, man.
Who plays more small ball than any other team and yet still employs the role of center, mind you, how many times have they gotten in the Rockets' head?
I'm telling you, you're absolutely correct. And the Rocket fans don't see that. They think I'm a Rocket hater. I'm not a Rocket hater.
No.
I'm just telling you the facts.
Spitting facts. The Rockets have had 4 shots in the playoffs at Golden State. 4 of them. Lost in 5 games in 2015. Lost in 5 games in 2016. Lost in 7 games in 2018. Lost in 6 games in 2019. And about those last two playoff losses, the elimination game occurred on the Rockets' home floor.
And wasn't 2018 when Chris Paul, or was it 2018 when Chris Paul went down and they were up 3-2?
Chris Paul, yep.
They were up 3-2. And you're sitting here telling me as a Rocket fan that you're okay with that? I don't get it.
Of course.
I'm trying to speak knowledge to these people and they think the knowledge is hate. It's not hate. You gotta look at your team.
Yep.
Who's gonna guard Kawhi Leonard and nobody? Those guys will see someone smaller on them. They'll gog them in the paint.
And nobody guarded Steph Curry in the second half of game 6. He only dropped 33 points.
Oh, just 33 points. Just leave. Yeah, greatest shooter of all. One of the greatest shooters of the game right now. You leave home. I don't get it, man. I'm just telling you this right now. The Western Conference, and I'm going to tell this to you right now, the Clippers are going to come out of the West. I don't care if they're a 4 seed, a 7 seed. I don't care if they're an 8 seed.
You know what? I have the Clippers coming out of the West also. They'll get a fight from Denver. They'll probably get a fight from Utah. And I think it will wind up being the Clippers in Denver for the Western Conference Finals. I do not trust the Lakers because there are 2 issues they have not addressed. 1, they don't have any depth on the bench whatsoever. None.
Nope.
Take a look at the minutes that the starters are getting. Secondly, mm-hmm. who's their point guard?
LeBron. Listen, now let me ask you this. Let's put the Clippers and the Lakers side by side, and let's go through my four questions, my four pillars of a successful NBA franchise. Okay. You and I, and we're basketball minds here. Who has a better owner, Clippers or Lakers?
Clippers.
Who has a better front office, Clippers or Lakers?
Clippers.
Who has a better head coach, Clippers or Lakers?
Clippers.
And if you go from 1 to 14, Clippers. The entire roster, who has a better roster?
Clippers.
There you go. Are you kidding me? And then everyone is saying the Lakers, this, this, and this. Listen, there's a difference. Doc Rivers prepares his team for the playoffs, mm-hmm. doesn't prepare for now.
Mm-hmm.
Great coaches, great front office. You know who's running the front office of the Clippers? You know who was running it, right?
Yeah, Donald Ballmer.
Band? Let's be real.
Yep.
Jerry West.
And
then you have a basketball team that Jerry West,
and who's the other team that Jerry West put together?
Golden State.
That would be the Golden State Warriors.
And you know who else is in that front office who's a basketball junkie, and you know this name? Lawrence Frank,
yep. He only participated in an NBA final series. He only participated in a world championship series after taking over the Nets midseason.
Right. But you know what, though, man? I'm going to tell you this. It's going to be interesting right now that the All-Star break is over, and we're going to see these teams come up. Oh, and let me tell you one team that's really, really, really surprised me and is currently in the eighth seed in the West. You know who that is? The Memphis Grizzlies. They're playing with house money, man.
What have I said about my 49ers all year? They're playing with house money. Memphis is in the same role. Memphis is in the same role. I'm making this analogy. Memphis is playing with nothing but house money right now. No one expects them to make the playoffs, but watch, they're going to get in.
And they have a 3-game cushion. I think I'm trying to remember who was 9, but I know the Pelicans and the Spurs are like 4 games out. And then I forgot who the 9th seed was. They're like
Portland.
2.5 out.
It's a Portland Trailblazers.
Portland. There you go. You're absolutely correct. And Portland is about 2.5, which in the stretch run, that's a decent cushion.
Mm-hmm.
But now the thing about Memphis, I think I heard in one of the NBA shows, now Memphis is going to be playing the top tier teams now coming in the second half of the season.
They're going to see Denver, they're going to see Portland, and they got to play them both on the road. I just hope, and I hate to say this, and I know I'm going to get a lot of pushback for this, but I don't care. I hope a team puts the Lakers out of their misery so they can actually learn how to put a decent team together. Because this ain't it.
You're absolutely correct. And you know what? Mitch Kupchak did put a good team together.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch Kupchak hired a coach for that young team. Okay? And these fake Laker fans are telling me that wasn't, listen, you had Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, and then you had the Zubac kid, the 7-foot skinny center.
Ivica Zubac.
Ivica Zubac. You had that was a young core. They brought in a young coach.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron then comes into the fold group.
And all hell breaks loose.
Right. But the thing is that when he came into that team, the team was complete, and adding LeBron on there, they were a four seed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, instead of him dismantling the team, they should have added more veteran pieces to that young core.
Yep.
And they had a lot of money in the cap because now you're spending money on those. Oh, I forgot to add Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah.
There's your 5. And you cannot add to that. Instead, he liquidated those assets
mm-hmm.
to bring in an Anthony Davis, who is on the final year of his contract,
yep.
and he has already made these cryptic messages that he wants to go back home and play.
And you just brought my next point. You just brought my final point. I'm going to have you on more often to talk some NBA and also talk some NBA fantasy as we come down the stretch here, if you're interested.
Yes, sir. Listen, I'm a fantasy junkie.
Then we will talk. Anthony Davis
yes.
will not stay beyond this year in Los Angeles. Why, you ask?
I agree.
He wants to go home. Home in Chicago.
Chicago. Thank you.
He wants to go home.
Yes, sir. They liquidated all of their assets. Because LeBron told the front office to do that. To basically get Anthony Davis on a rental.
And the Bulls have one of the youngest teams in the NBA. They're going to make a coaching change. They're going to make a GM change. And as soon as that change is made, they're going to roll out the red carpet for Anthony Davis.
I just want to make a
Davis
huge shout out.
Wants to come home.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis wants to come home.
He sure does. And I want to make a huge shout out to an Arizona Wildcat who's currently on the Bulls team, Lauri Markkanen. Arizona Wildcat.
I love Markkanen. I absolutely love Lauri Markkanen and what he does. You know what? They have the point guard in the future the Bulls do in Kobe White. They just need to give him the ball.
Yes.
Zach LaVine is there. Mm-hmm. He's their captain. He's their leader. Bring Anthony Davis home. Watch.
You're foaming at the mouth right now, I know.
Dude, bring Anthony. He's not the only, and I will say this, he's not going to be the only big man on the move out of the West. Or one's going to move out of the West and into the East. The other's going to move within the West. And I'm putting this rumor out there right now, which means a rumor can be absolutely wrong, and I understand that. But I don't think the Golden State Warriors are done dealing with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Here's what I'm thinking. Karl Anthony Towns will come to the Bay.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
I mean, Andrew Wiggins is already in the Bay. They made the move at the trade deadline and got him for D'Angelo Russell. Who's to say
that's a good one.
That Karl Anthony Towns will not get out of Minnesota? Because aside of the Bulls, who has a lot of capital right now where they can make a move and make a splash and get back into championship contention? That would be Golden State.
And not fail to mention the salary cap. If I stand corrected, the salary cap is going to go up.
It's going to go up. So who's to say the Dubs won't pull a fast one on the NBA for the third consecutive time? Kevin Durant, DeMarcus Cousins, and now Karl Anthony Towns. Who's to say
the thing about,
that the Warriors won't pull a fast one for a third time?
And listen, and here's the thing too. Karl Anthony Towns, as of right now, he is right now in his peak. He's peaking right now.
Yep.
And you're and you know what? I am not going to argue that point. I'm not going to debate that because I honestly can see that happening.
Yeah.
But
you think
you
the Warriors
about the
aren't
new villains at the end?
You think the Warriors aren't salivating? They're sitting in the cut waiting. The Bulls and the Warriors, I will tell you right now, the Bulls and the Warriors are waiting for this season to be over.
Let me just ask you this question, man. And this is a question that's been bothering me a little bit.
Yeah.
You know Bickerstaff?
Yeah.
The head coach, why can't this man not land a head coach? This man Bernie Bickerstaff's son.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a junior.
Yeah,
correct me if I'm wrong.
JB Bickerstaff. Yep.
Yes, JB Bickerstaff. Why does this man gets called upon by franchises, okay, to plug holes in a sinking ship? He gives them what they want. He keeps the ship afloat.
Yep.
Keeps the team at 500, or you know, he might win like 2, 3, 4 games over 500.
Uh-huh.
But doesn't land a job. I don't get. I mean, am I wrong on
nope.
that?
Not at all.
He's young. He's young. He comes from an incredible. I mean, Bernie Bickerstaff. I honestly think Bernie Bickerstaff
should
be in the Hall of Fame.
Anybody remember the Seattle SuperSonics and the way he was, way they were coached by Bernie Bickerstaff?
Yes. Bernie's that old head.
Bernie's old school. JB Bickerstaff is just called on, unfortunately, to plug holes, and that will change. You want
to
know something?
He needs to get a job.
I. You know what? I'm throwing rumors out there, like smartasses that are going to, you know, throw something under the. You know how people are in the comments section. You know what they're going to say. Carl Anthony Towns will be in the Bay. JB Bickerstaff will be in the Windy City.
There's another name I want to throw out there that I can see coaching the Bulls. I think Fizdale could be a good fit in Chicago, too.
Fiz could coach the Bulls. Fiz will have a young team. Fiz will have a young team.
But you need a young, you know, I don't want to throw no, you know, but you need a young brother coach in there that has a little bit of weight.
Look, you get no argument from me. You get no argument from me with that. Fiz was a sitting duck in New York.
The Memphis Grizzlies.
Yes.
Yeah. He got the rug pulled under him from Memphis
fast.
And I don't know what it is with Fiz. Give him a young team. Give him a good. Give him a 4 or 5 year deal.
Mm-hmm.
Let him at least coach for. At least give him 3 seasons to at least, you know, the first year flirt with the playoffs, but then after year 2 and year 3, you got to be in the postseason.
Yeah. Give him,
and go
three
from
full,
there.
Give him 3 full seasons. Give him 3 full seasons. Okay. And be fair about it. Uninterrupted. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Give him 3 full seasons.
Exactly.
But the coach, exactly. I think, will lead the Bulls will be either David Fizdale or be JB Bickerstaff. You think one of those two won't get the Bulls back to contention?
They're young. They have pedigree. One has hardware. The other one has pedigree from his father.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to choose from. And, you know, the one thing I do want to say that the Golden State Warriors and Steve Kerr, who went to the University of Arizona.
Yes, he did.
the way that they're playing it right now, I think it's a stroke of brilliance.
Mm-hmm.
No one is talking about them.
Nope.
They're not making a fuss of. They're not making no excuses for their injuries.
None.
They just opened a brand new arena.
Uh-huh.
And no one has said anything about them.
And that arena is dynamite. That arena.
I bet.
That the Chase Center, y'all, is dynamite. It's dynamite.
And I've been to San Francisco once before. I think it's off of Pier 39. I think off the pier, ain't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and I don't know, Brian. It's you know, going back to what we touched on before, man. It's just like these fans are just so blinded.
They're not educated. How many times have we said that? They're not educated. They are not educated at all. One final point. Can we please, Adam Silver, you have a job to do. And the job is this. Please bring back the Seattle SuperSonics.
That's, yes.
Can we?
And the only,
please,
here's the thing.
Dear God, please.
There's one team that they should entertain to bring back to Seattle. And I just think that there's one team out there that will benefit from that move would be the Sacramento Kings.
Really?
Take the Kings out of, I would take the Kings out of Sacramento and make them one. It's not a free agent destination.
Yeah.
No free agents want to go there.
But see, here's the problem. Here is the problem with moving the Kings. They just opened the Golden One Center. If they were still playing at Arco Arena, if they were still here's the fans are rabid
right.
in Sacramento. The fans are rabid in Sacramento, and I expect Sacramento to be competitive in a couple of years. I really do. The mind of Luke Walton is going to get them back to the playoffs. And 1 year within the next four, it'll be the Battle of Northern California when you see the Sacramento Kings and the Golden State Warriors play in the Western Conference Finals. The team that should go back to Seattle is the team that was snatched from Seattle, and that's Oklahoma City. The OKC Thunder, the Oklahoma City Thunder, since 2012, has not done a damn thing. They choked a 3-1 lead against Golden State. If they beat Golden State in that West Finals in 2016, they're sealed in Oklahoma City. You would have to start from fresh. You would have to start from fresh. Because if you want to talk about fans that, are miseducated, when Oklahoma City arrived in 2008, not one of them mentioned the Seattle Supersonics. Not one.
And what's sad is they have the titles that Seattle won too in OKC.
And they don't belong there. They don't belong there at all.
That would be nice if somebody can swoop that up, just like what the Rams did.
And Clay Bennett and David Stern started talking after Hurricane Katrina in 2005. 3 years later, we got a team in Oklahoma City. Nobody sees anything wrong with this picture. Nobody sees anything wrong with this.
The Hornets were playing up there, weren't they? Well, they were the New Orleans Hornets?
Yep, they were the New Orleans, Oklahoma City Hornets. Because New Orleans needed somewhere to go after Hurricane Katrina in 2005. And this is what gets on my nerves. David Stern saw the supposed, and I truly mean this, supposed potential of Oklahoma City to grow a fan base. That fan base is all in Oklahoma. Every other team in the NBA, including the Nets, including the Clippers, including the Lakers, including the Timberwolves, have fans all over the country. Oklahoma City does not.
Since Russ left.
Exactly. Think about it. They do not have they do not have the growing fan base that they expected since 2008. And now with them being in their 11th season in Oklahoma City, who the hell is watching them? Let's be real. Let's be totally real. I'll bet you if they were in Seattle, there would be a ton of rivalries for the Seattle Supersonics. I can't call them Oklahoma City. I mean, Adam Silver needs to make two moves. One of them I know is going to draw some controversy. The first move, take Oklahoma City, tell them hit the road, and they're going back to Seattle. Rebrand everything as the Seattle Supersonics and take that Oklahoma City Thunder history and destroy it. Because Oklahoma City has basically destroyed Seattle's history after 41 years. The second thing they need to do, I don't care if there's a new arena or not, take the Nets, move them back to New Jersey.
Ooh, man.
You want to talk about an NBA, you want to talk about an NBA fan that's a little angry? Look, the Nets had the Prudential Arena.
But they didn't make any improvements to that arena. They tried to get public money to fund that arena, and they got denied.
They got denied. But now that the Prudential Arena is up, the Nets can come back. Okay, you tell Governor. Man. There's a few things I'd like to say about Governor Christie, but I won't say them on this program. But I'm kidding as I say
wow.
that. The biggest move I think the NBA needs to make is to bring back the Seattle Supersonics, please. Bring back the Seattle Supersonics.
No, you're absolutely right. And the Supersonics were that team that everyone forgot back in the 90s.
Kemp, Gary Payton, Kendall Gill.
Yeah.
Sam Perkins, Dale Ellis. You want to go back in a day? Dale Ellis.
Tom Chambers.
Jack Sigma. One of the first big men I ever loved was Jack Sigma.
He had that curl going, man.
He had the curl going. He had the I understand right now. I am blanking. He had
mullet.
Thank you. That's the exact word I'm looking for. Normally, my wife looks at me for the word, and now I blank out. But he had the mullet going, which means Larry Bird later on had the mullet going. All kinds of stuff, man. All kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, because they used to play in the Kingdom.
Yes, indeed.
Didn't they?
Yes, they did. They shared the Seattle Center Coliseum and the Kingdom. Who says they can't get funding? Well, there's one private investor now that wants to build the arena for them. Make the vote happen, y'all. Please.
Well, another thing too with the Seattle, with the Key Arena, is that they also put some money into that because they want to also attract a hockey team out there.
Well, they got the hockey team. The hockey team has been granted. Now let's bring back the Sonics.
Yeah,
the
I
hockey
think we should,
team has been granted. The hockey team has been granted. Okay, Ray Allen's legacy is entrenched in Seattle, even though he started his career in Milwaukee. Ray Allen's legacy is entrenched in Seattle. Gary Payton, Sean Kemp, all in Seattle.
Don't forget Kevin Durant was drafted by the Supersonics.
Yep, Kevin Durant also. You know something? If they brought back the Sonics, Kevin Durant's out of Brooklyn. Who's to say Kevin Durant's not out of Brooklyn? In a heartbeat.
Or just screw it. Just take the freaking Nets and move them out to Seattle.
Just move the Nets out to Seattle.
Golly, we can talk this junk forever. Because the thing is that you and I see eye to eye on basketball in reality to the fact that we look at it from the business perspective.
Yep.
And the reality of it. Yes, you're a fan of the team, but a true fan understands when your team is not good.
A true fan understands the game and the teams in it. You know, and I've mentioned the Spurs. I follow them. One of my dearest friends in broadcasting is Bill Schoenig, the fabulous radio voice of the San Antonio Spurs. He'll tell me straight up that the Spurs aren't making the playoffs. And you're supposed to be a fan of your team. This is coming from a guy whose favorite voice, God rest his soul, was Jim Durham.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Durham was my Bulls voice for years.
Yeah. Back in the day.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just.
Jim Durham and Johnny Kerr. Jim Durham and Johnny Kerr, man.
Yeah. It's gonna be one hell of a stretch run, man. I can't wait till the seedings in both Eastern and Western conferences start to come to fruition, and we get to see who, and then get an idea where they're gonna go.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be the playoffs are gonna be fun.
Yeah, they are gonna be fun, and I need to have you on to talk some fantasy basketball as well.
Please do, because I'm a fan. Yes,
yeah,
please do.
We're gonna schedule it and we're gonna get it going. Sharif Ahmed joining me here to talk some NBA and how he and I would fix the NBA. Please bring back the Seattle Supersonics. There's your first idea right there. Thanks a lot, my friend. Appreciate the time.
Take care, brother. Thank you.
Man, oh man. You want to talk about some fun? There's some fun for you right there. And Dr. K is mad at me. I got to take a break. Back in a flash. Time to wrap this thing up, but before we do, we have to give you the NBA schedule for this Wednesday. It starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Time as the Knicks travel to Charlotte to take on the Hornets. Philadelphia goes to Cleveland to take on the Cavaliers, and the Brooklyn Nets travel to Washington to take on the Washington Wizards. Let's see what Bradley Beal does this time. A half hour after that, Orlando travels to Atlanta to take on the Hawks. Minnesota goes to Miami to take on the Miami Heat. 8 Eastern Time, the Memphis Grizzlies are in Texas to face the Houston Rockets, and it's the Battle of Texas as the Dallas Mavericks travel to the Riverwalk to take on the San Antonio Spurs. Bill Schoenig will have the call for WOAI and the Spurs Radio Network. At 9 Eastern, the Clippers go to Phoenix to take on the Suns, And 90 minutes after that, the schedule finishes up with the Boston Celtics taking on the Utah Jazz. Folks, don't forget that you can subscribe to the Full Press NBA podcast wherever you get your podcast, be it Apple, be it Google, be it Spotify. Watch for the posts on Facebook and Twitter, but follow along the NBA podcast as we take you to and through the season. Thank you to my guest Sharif Ahmed and that great conversation we had on Snowman in the Morning. A lot of people think the Lakers are just a shoe-in for the Western Conference Championship. Not so fast, my friends. I'll explain more on that at the end of the week. That'll do it for this edition of the NBA podcast. Y'all have a great one, and I will talk to you tomorrow. So long, everybody.
The proceeding has been a presentation of Snowman Digital Media. Copyright 2020, all rights reserved.
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry, way downtown.
Curry comes to the ball, goes to the corner, catches, works up Pondexter, fade away three, short, rebound space, Curry in the corner, shoots, on the way, got it! He hit it!
They get it to Fisher.
He scores! Derek Fisher scores at the buzzer!
And it goes to Bird, Bird up fake, Bird takes the shot, it got it!
All right, it's win or lose, game six for the Bulls. 10 seconds, and with it, of course, the championship. Jordan, 20-footer, head of the key, good! Chicago by one, and the Utah Jazz take time. Michael Jordan from the top of the key to put the Bulls up 87-86.
For more information, log on to snowmandigitalmedia.com.